Yes, and of course, Dave Loudon from La Trobe University. If you want to get involved in the media, look up the website, La Trobe University, and you too can play a role in the media. Dave Loudon's been good enough to join us, as he always looks at sport in the media. G'day, Dave.
G'day, KB. Nice to talk to nice people.
Thank you.
And right off the top, I want to talk about Mick Malthouse. Congratulations to Mick on behalf of all of his colleagues. I'm here at La Trobe University this morning, but I remember starting in 1989 and never thinking that Jock McCarl's record would be broken. So it is just a fabulous achievement. And the university is immensely proud to have someone of Mick's stature helping us do what I think he's done so well in footy, and that's teach young people and encourage them to get the best out of themselves. And that's what we're on about here at La Trobe. But the sports media, I think, did end up saluting Mick, but it wasn't a given. And that's why two opinion leaders, Gerard Whateley and Mike Sheehan, said what they said at the start of the week.
Can we as a football community come to him? Will sentiment swell? This is a beautiful way to start.
Yeah, well, as you said, I've had a testy relationship with Mick. We've had our ups and downs, more downs than ups, but in my view, this is huge. This is genuine legend material.
Yeah, the last time this record changed hands was in 1927.
Yeah, and four jobs Mick had. One of them was a gift to the West Coast. The other three were all difficult, and he made a success of all of them. Mm. The Carlton one is work in progress, but his work at the Bulldogs and at Collingwood, whatever happened in Perth, he still won two flags. So I think this week we should pay homage to the man.
And that ended up happening. Former captains and officials spoke warmly about Mick. The AFL had an official function and there was due deference paid. But amongst it all, a story surfaced about Mick calling it quits after tonight's match. And again, Mick Malthouse found himself talking about his tenure.
I would never embarrass the club, nor my team, nor my players to hang on when I don't think that I can give value.
So where did that story come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from SEN's Crunch Time 2 weeks ago when Mark Robertson asked Carlton CEO Stephen Trigg a very clever question.
Have you ever been in a situation in your time as CEO and let a coach run to the end of his contract before reappointing him?
It's interesting, yes. But
Who was that?
Well, we had Blighty when I was there, and he made the call. Malcolm made the call. Neil Craig made the call.
For one year, just to let it run through. Did they survive the next year? Did Neil Craig get reappointed?
No. I'm saying we allowed as a board and me as a CEO to let his contract run, and he made the call himself in July.
To pull the pin?
Yeah.
Now, after that, sports journos amongst themselves over the halftime pie started speculating about whether Mick might walk. Some asked, would he do a Mark Taylor and equal the record against St Kilda and then retire? Now, we now know that Mick has absolutely no intention of quitting, and what we've seen since that he's recognised in the sports media as an excellent coach, and the Blues know that too. They know they've got a good coach. What they want is a good salesperson, and I think that's the issue at the minute. They've touched on it, but right now, I think we're a lot clearer about Richmond's position on Damien Hardwick than we are on Carlton's view of Malthouse. Mm. And just to wrap up the Malthouse milestone, well done to Gerard Whateley and Fox Footy for putting together a serious documentary on Mick's milestone that showed foresight and insight.
Well, I think a lot of respect was given to Mick, and I know Mark Evans from the AFL said give Mick a lot of respect. I think the football world had been giving Mick a lot of respect. I think all the talk around Carlton was around what Mark Lajudashay had said and also Stephen Trigg had said, but I think most people were in Mick's corner saying he was a great coach and wanted to congratulate him. So a lot of respect there. And the Herald Sun, of course, had 9 pages yesterday, and The Age, of course, and The Australian. Patrick Smith has written a big article today as well. I think there's been enormous respect for Mick and his achievement in the media.
No, there has. But what's interesting, I guess, is that it wasn't necessarily a given, maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It took Mark Evans to say, well, let's show him some respect. And, and you were another person who got on early and said, put whatever differences you've got aside with him, Mick said, Mike Sheehan said it as well. So it's interesting that there was kind of this dynamic where we needed to kind of fuel it. But then once it was away, I agree with you, the coverage has been magnificent.
What about role models in the media?
Well, that was another big story, wasn't it? No, or multiple stories, if you like. We saw some examples, I guess, that were excellent, and then one not quite as good, but still ended up okay. It took Alistair Clarkson and many in the media, I think, to understand the power that an AFL coach has as an agent of change in society. Now, what I mean by that is that Clarkson had a right to be furious with the Port Adelaide fan. I think everyone agrees about that. And I can quite understand how it would have taken him, you know, a good 2 days to get to the point where he realised that he needed to make a statement that acknowledged that his behaviour undermined the broader campaign in society to end the use of the coward's punch. Now, Nathan Buckley, I reckon, is the class captain when it comes to AFL coaches as role models. But on his regular spot on Fox Footy, AFL 360 on Monday night, I reckon his warning of retaliation, it was a veiled warning, but it does have the potential to undermine the anti-coward's punch campaign.
People shouldn't assume that we're just bits of meat that are going to walk beside you and don't have feelings or aren't going to react or are just, you know, pincushions to be pricked. It's not going to happen.
The Clarkson matter is now the subject of a South Australian police investigation, so I won't say any more about that specific case. But I think as a media fraternity, there has to be extreme caution shown about encouraging a scenario where people orchestrate a confrontation in order to gain notoriety and perhaps even payment for exclusive video. I'm not saying we don't do the story, but there has to be extreme caution about the public utility of that story versus giving these clowns an opportunity to maybe get some money or get some 5 minutes of fame. Now, the two that were excellent, that I mentioned were excellent role models, were Chris Judd and Basha Hooley. Judd was being goaded into a confrontation while eating a meal in Carlton, and he diffused the situation, and afterwards he said this.
I got no interest in really fighting anyone. I certainly felt, you know, in a very threatened situation. In times of a footy player, you know, my mind was generally racing around the fact that I can't do anything to this bloke until, you know, essentially get assaulted first.
Now, the other one was Basha Hooley. Simon Matthews, who's a highly respected administrator of 2 decades standing, reported to his club, Richmond, that he'd allegedly heard John Burns from 3AW at the match call Basha Hooley a terrorist. Hooley used it as another opportunity to reinforce and celebrate diversity in the AFL.
Something that we shouldn't accept within our society, and you know, it's come a long way. When we speak about this, it is definitely a minority. It's not the majority of Australians. So, you know, we are moving forward. It's just sad to see it pop up every now and then.
Well, it was a you know, a big story, and Basha Hooley handled it I think amazingly well. What about Media Performer of the Week then?
Well, just before I do, can I say that Basha Hooley did handle it really well, and 3AW's John Burns, I think, has tarnished his reputation with his qualified apology. He really could have done that a little bit better, I think. The media performers of the week, plural, are Judd and Hooley, because I think they both equally were fine ambassadors for their clubs and great role models for younger people.
Okay, what is that it? Got anything to leave us with?
Well, no, I do have something to leave you with. Just an interesting one to watch. This is a watch this space. But John Stensholt in the Financial Review this week wrote an article about the NRL commencing formal negotiations for their TV rights with more than 2 years to run on the contract. Now, that means the big networks are going to be bidding for the two big footy codes concurrently. You know, it's impossible to believe that one channel could win the lot, but what a scenario it is for the networks that they have to kind of work out, okay, how many ads do I need to sell and how much are we going to bid? And they've got to do that before they've had to do it once, and then, you know, they either win or lose and then they go and bid for the next one. This time it looks like they'll be doing it concurrently, so it'll be interesting to follow.
Always great to catch up, Dave, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, KB.
Dave Loudon, Sport in the Media.